Hey, church, how we doing today? Come on, let's give God a big hand. So good to be with you today. Awesome. And wow, I don't know if you know this or not, but it takes over 50 people a Sunday to make all this happen. 50 people, and I'm just so thankful for all the men and women who are working tirelessly behind the scenes and all over the building, inside and out, that help make this a great experience for you. Can we just demonstrate some love for them and thank them? Come on, thank you everybody serving all around. Here we are in a series, What Do I Believe, Even When I'm Not Sure What I Believe? Yeah, this is it, and it's an invitation to know and to love God well. And we're here to try to help you understand and walk through the journey and the trials of faith, because the trials of being a follower of Jesus, every now and then, I'm going to let you know, I'm not sure what I believe either. And I get challenged in my belief. God, are you there? God, who are you? Why don't you just do what I want? And we're going to help uncover some of these things today. Y'all ready? Amen. Hey, I don't know about you and how you grew up in the faith. I grew up going to St. Regis Church in Trafford. I was a good Catholic boy. I was an altar boy. Grew up in church. I grew up to go into this thing called CCD. How many of y'all been through? Yeah, there we go. Catechism. And catechism is a faith formation, which is designed to be questions and answers. And you dialogue and you learn about faith. And so as a young boy, I went on Saturdays. I went to catechism. Somewhere along the line, I shift to Monday nights in junior high. I guess they figured junior high kids don't want to get up on Saturday morning. And they said, here, go on Monday nights. And so I went. And it all led up to this thing called confirmation, when you get confirmed into the faith. And you had to take a test. You had to stand before the priest. You had to do all these things. And I got confirmed. I went to catechism, and I got confirmed. And I'll never forget, they were having a little party afterwards. And somebody walked up to me. They said, how does it feel now that you're confirmed? And I touched myself. And I said, it doesn't feel any different. And I was being honest. And now I looked at my mother, who was directly across from me, and she was not amused. As a matter of fact, it was a very, very long trip home. That 2 miles home was very, very long. And it's because she let me know what confirmation really was. And to be honest, I went through the motions. I really wasn't sure what it was. But I learned something intrinsically. Not on purpose, but I learned something. That once you get confirmed and once you're considered in, I learned you really don't have to go to catechism anymore. I learned you don't have to pay attention anymore. I learned that once you're in, you really don't need to learn. You're just you're all good now. Unfortunately, that's how many of us approach our relationship with God. We come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, we meet him in a real way. Jesus, be my forgiver, be my leader. And then we kind of check out. And we leave the learning to the smart people. And the smart people will figure it out. And I was, even at a young age, I realized I wasn't one of the smart people. Okay, and that was okay, but I left them do it. But nothing could be further from the truth, because when we become followers of Jesus, the adventure begins. Oh, I thought you'd get excited. It's like, oh yeah, you're waiting for the adventure. Okay, we're gonna send you on one. Come on, yeah. No, but see, the adventure begins. That's when the learning begins. See, it's been said like this: once you become a follower of Jesus, and you say, Jesus, you get born again. You get a new, fresh start. Jesus, I want you to be my leader. What you do as a follower of Jesus, you keep going to church, you get in relationships, you serve, you do all those things, but you spend the rest of your life figuring out what happened on that day. Right. We're helping you figure out what happened on that day. It's very similar to marriage. You get married, and it's exciting. The adventure begins. But then you figure out the rest of your life what happened on that day.
Right.
Sometimes in its adventure, sometimes it's mysterious. Sometimes it's a mysterious adventure. Right?
Yep.
We figure it out. We didn't know everything then, right? The same is true with your relationship with Jesus. You start, but then we're going to continue growing in faith formation to become more like him. And that's what we do here at Bridge City Church. We're going to help you with your faith formation. We're going to help you figure out what happened there. Now, I'm going to start off with two verses, very simplistic verses, but very foundational about God the Father. 1 John chapter 3, 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. I'm going to tell you this, that takes a lifetime of uncovering him being our Father and we being his children.
Right.
Did you ever have kids? It takes years to figure that out. As a matter of fact, you don't even appreciate your parents until you're somewhere in your 30s. So all the parents out there with young kids, just hold on. There's going to be a day somewhere in their 30s, they're going to say, wow, you know stuff. And then you're going to want to write it down. It's okay. No, I'm being honest. See, that's saying things with God. We go through a process, right? There's a process of learning. And here's another one in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 6. But for us, notice always the us's here. For us, God's love is always in us. Yeah, there is one God the Father by whom all things were created and for whom we live. One God the Father, and his love is so great that he is our Father and we are his children. This takes a lifetime to uncover. It really does. This is what we want to help you uncover today. God the Father. Why? We keep saying this. There's two, yes, three questions that will determine every decision you make in your life. Every decision you make in your life will all come down to who is God to you, your theology. You know what theology is? It's a fancy way of studying, saying it's a study about the words of God. See, it's simple. Like, let's just study God together. Let's study his words together. Let's figure them out. Yeah, I'm still learning about it. Then who I am to God, identity, and who we are as his people. So these three questions will determine how your work ethic at the place you work comes down to these three questions. The way you handle money and your giving comes down to these three questions. The way you treat people that you live with in your home comes down to these three questions. It all comes down to these three questions. Who is he? Who is me? And who is we? Who is he? Who is me? And who is we? When you determine these three things, I'm telling you, decisions in life become like, I'm not rote and religious, but they just become real here. See, this is the reason. We will either be created in God's image and become more like him, or we're going to create God in our image. Or may I say it this way, we will create God in the image that we have of God. See, we all have an image of God. Everybody, if I went around the room right now and ask every person, there's all these images of God. And we create him in our image of him rather than what's based on truth. Yeah. So I was sitting with somebody yesterday and they heard some things about me. And they said, are these things true? And I had a simple answer. I said, what have you experienced? You know me pretty well. We're in group together. We relate together. We connect. He goes, well, I don't see any of those things. I said, how about you go on what you know? He said, but some say this, and some say, listen, some say a lot of stuff. But at some point, you go on based on what you know. Let's get based on what we know and what truth is in the Word of God, and watch what will happen in our lives. See, this is not too difficult for us. We can understand this. And we all have struggles in our faith. We really do. Let me give you an example. In 10th grade, sociology, I was sitting in a sociology class. I really didn't care about sociology at all. I cared about the people sitting next to me and what was for lunch and what I was doing after school. Did anybody go to school like me? Come on. And I remember this guy looked smart. He was a teacher. And he said, okay, you can believe in creationism, you can believe God creates, but you can believe in evolution because the two work hand in hand. And so as a young kid, I just said, okay. I did. I said, okay. I really did. I said, okay. And I just figured, okay. Until I got just a little bit older, it was just a couple years later, and I looked at things for myself.
Right.
And I went, this is not logical. This is not reasonable. See, I didn't have to get into a deep theological study. I just looked at things and said, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
And so I was like, wait a minute. Like, people ask me, why are you a follower of Jesus? Listen, I put my faith in God. He's changed my life, all those things. But I've looked at all the options out there. People say, well, how can you believe in the resurrection? I can't prove to you the resurrection happened, but I can tell you this. I've looked at all the options out there, and I find Christianity to be the most logical, reasonable, faith-living thing that I could ever do in my life. And at some point, it just takes faith to step into it. You take a step of faith that's not based on turning your mind off. It's based on your mind has to stay on, but your mind doesn't control you. The Spirit of God and truth does.
Right.
Are you happy you came today?
Yeah. Right.
No, it's true. See, there's agnostics and atheists that'll tell you there's no such thing as evolution. There's no such thing as miracles. There's only evolution. They will tell you Jesus didn't do any miracles. It was all smoke and mirrors. I have people argue like this. But then you ask them about evolution and they say, yep, but evolution's real. So what they're telling you is this. You can't believe in miracles, but they can, because you got to give them one that's really too big for the mind to understand. What I'm trying to tell you and I'm trying to share with you is the basis by which we come to conclusions. Yes, it's on the Word of God, but we do it based on a legitimate, reasonable understanding of who God is, and we struggle with these things along the way. Here we go. The big idea is this. When you know God as God the Father, we love Him in these three ways. Protector, provider, and it gets personal. God the Father, not just Father, but God the Father. We've been wrestling. I'm telling you, we've been wrestling a lot over what do we really believe, how we believe it. We looked at the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. We've been reading all these creeds and doing all these things. And we came up with seven things. Now, I'm not going to read them all to you now, but I'm going to tell you, over the next weeks, we're going to help you understand what you believe and why you believe it. We want to help you. There's dialogue in small groups. There's dialogue outside of here. And so here's seven things here that we got. And the first one here is we believe in God the Father. I'm going to spend the rest of my time with you today about God the Father. That's as far as I'm going to get. Creator of heaven and earth and all that's in it, and Jesus is deity, and in the Word of God, and man was born in sin and helped us to save himself. And you can go on. There's three more here that we're just going to uncover in all these things. And why are we doing this? Because in our culture and world today, there are so many things out there. Because we all have these things that we have these nuclear devices called cell phones. And these nuclear devices called cell phones make us think that we can get whatever information we have, and it's real. We make stuff up. But we don't check it out for its reality, for what it really means. And where does this really go to here? So God, the Father here, why is this so important? There are surveys out there. Let me just show you. I'm trying to whet your appetite to know that you can believe truth, and it matters. In Lifeway 2022, Lifeway is an organization that surveys all over the world here, and professing evangelical Christians agree. Evangelical is a fancy way of saying you believe in the authority of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. So people who say they believe in the authority of God's word and believe in Jesus Christ, they agree that God learns and adapts to different circumstances. 48% of the people say that God changes circumstance to circumstance. Your circumstance is different than my circumstance, so God changes. Okay, think about this. The next one, everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. 65% of the people. Obviously, those 65% were not parents. Just a thought, okay. Just a thought. You'll catch me there. God accepts the worship of all religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. That's it. They all go to the same place. It's all good. Yeah, 56. Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. 43% of the people believe that. And we wonder why we're having a faith problem in our country. There's a faith issue going on because look at the stats. They're telling us we don't even know who God is. Now, I'm not here just to say, you better believe in God. You know, listen, most people have a problem with Christians in church based on the people that attend that church don't really believe what they say they believe. Most young people leave the church. 1 million people a year leave in the church. You've heard that stat before here. Listen, because there's people in the church that don't believe what they say they believe. And so we better figure out what we believe so we can know what we believe, so we can know how to behave, so we can know that God has a plan. Are you with me? Yeah. So here we go. The Trinity. Let's look at the Trinity here. Let's think about this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods in working together in unison, not one God manifesting himself three ways, but three distinct persons who are fully God. Well, Pastor, why do I have to understand this? This is a mystery. I told you some things are a mystery. But we need all three of these. All three are really, really important, okay? Let me try to explain it to you in function. What's the function of the Trinity? Here it is. God initiates salvation. He initiates. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God loves. He initiated. He sent. God put the plan in motion from Genesis on. Jesus accomplishes. That's right. Jesus accomplishes salvation. That's what he does. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. Then we have God the Spirit applies salvation. He sent us an advocate, a helper, to apply this. All three of these are distinctly different, and we need all three. Let me try to explain it to you this way. If you have health care, okay, and then you have vision and you have dental. And you have all three, don't you want to use all three? Okay? See, many people, I just say, if I could just get a little bit of vision. Just give me a little bit of vision. That's all I want. I don't want all three. That's a little much to handle. No. These are three distinct benefits that we have that are for our good. And when we uncover them, it determines a whole adventurous world for us. I have God initiating a plan of love for me. I have Jesus accomplishing salvation for me here. I have the Holy Spirit helping me. There's three distinct parts of this. Let's look at the way we pray. The way we pray is we pray to God the Father. We pray through Jesus, God the Son, and we pray with the help of God the Holy Spirit. A lot of people come to me, this is a real question. I mean, we all have questions. We pray this prayer, we come to church, and what's the most devastating thing that you're ever asked to do when you first come to church? Somebody's going to ask me to pray. Right? If somebody's going to ask me to pray, and the first thing you do is like, that's how people get close to God. We ask you to pray. Then you get real close to God, help me pray. Yeah, really, because it's like we're praying to God the Father, the initiator. Then we're praying through Jesus the Son, through what Jesus did on the cross, the only way. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit. We have three distinct benefits in our life that God wants to give us, and he gave us for our good. Here's a couple scriptures for you. Again, foundational beliefs are paramount, and we need a fixed place, because if we don't have a fixed place to know what we believe, we're just going to accept everything. Okay? So this is it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Paramount belief, God is a creator. Again, next week, we're going to uncover what does it really mean that God is a creator? How does that affect your life? What is the love of God? When we say that God loves everybody, loves the world, what does that mean? When we uncover it, I'm telling you, it changes our life. It's an invitation to know and love him well. Yeah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Yeah, he's one. Yeah. Do you know at the time of this writing, there were many gods. There was cultures that had a god for everything. The sun god, the moon god, the river god, the water god, the desert god. You name it, the god. All small g's. All small. And so when this was written, it was very distinct. You're different than the rest of the world. No, I want you to catch this. You're different than the rest of the world, because you're either going to have a whole bunch of gods or you're going to throw them all out and have no God. Those are your two options. Other than saying, wait a minute, the Lord our God is one. The first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. What was he saying? You're going to have the opportunity to have a lot of gods before me. Don't do that. God the Father. God the Father, so vitally important here. You can know him. You can have a personal relationship with God the Father. This should be the most exciting thing. This separates Christianity from all other world religions. You can know him. How many of you have seen the deep, philosophical, doctrine-based movie about Buddy the Elf? Yeah. Right. Now, for those of you that you just haven't been enlightened in this way, it's about an elf that comes from the North Pole. Yes, it is fictional. And Buddy the Elf comes, and he's living with ordinary people, okay? And when they talk about Santa Claus, what does he get all excited and say? I know him. What would your workplace look like if they bring up God and you went, I know him. I know the one you talk of. I know him. I don't just know about him. I know him. That's the exciting point about God. Right. So I'm asking for us to be a little more excited than Buddy the Elf. And when they introduce a fake Santa, Buddy looks at the fake Santa and says, there's an imposter on the throne. He smells like beef and cheese. Beautiful movie. Yeah, we promote Christmas movies here in late April. Yeah. But the point being, when you know him, you spot imposters trying to steal and take from you, and you can spot them and say, I'm not going to live for that. I'm going to live for the real thing. Yeah. Right. Why? Because we know him. We know him. I've been with him. He's not like what you're talking about. He's God's different than that. You got to meet him the way I met him. You got to see him the way I see him. Oh, I've experienced him in ways you know not of. Right. See, stop trying to get in philosophical arguments at work. And what are we going to say? I know him. Let me tell you what I know about him. He's God the Father. Personal relationship, Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. We carry his name. There are a group of people today, they're going to get water baptized. And what they're saying, come on, they're saying, we know him, and now we carry his name. We carry his name. I have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ with the help of God the Holy Spirit. Right. And every day I'm learning to become more like him because it's an adventure and a mystery. And I'm becoming closer to be more like him as I live this life with God. That's what we're saying here. So church isn't a place for everybody to come who has it all figured out. Church is a great place for people to come that are trying to figure it out. Right. Like me, like you. There's still things God does that I really disapprove of. Huh. And never once did my God, my Father in heaven, look down and say, oh, that's a good idea. Never once. Because he's God the Father. He has a personal relationship with me. But we carry his name, and that means we carry everything about his name. It's not like wearing Timberland boots and never working. I'm sorry if you did that today. Scuff them up. Yeah. Is that a... And there's people who wear Carhartt stuff that their shirts never get dirty. I'm sorry. When we carry his name, we're going to use his name for what it intended to be. Are you with me? Yeah. It's hard work lifting up that, yeah. You're building something. We're building Jesus' church around here. Yeah. Get me some Timberland boots. Okay. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all of White Oak and North Braddock and Murraysville and Brighton Heights and Pittsburgh, baptizing them in the name of the
Father
and of the
Son
and of the What we're saying is when those people get, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're saying you got a complete benefit package. Not only that, the benefits are out of this world. The retirement plan is really good.
Right.
Are you, see, you're getting baptized in all three of those. Now you have a Holy Spirit to help you. Now you have access to God the Father through Jesus the Son. This is the exciting thing. And together, we're going to help you figure out what that means. That's the exciting thing. This is exciting. Why? Because we know him. A mystery and an adventure. Number two is he's a provider. A provider. When Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, he said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Young people out there, junior, senior, high. I'm going to let you know, your parents know what you need before you even ask them. I said they don't know what you want, but they know what you need. Parents can thank me later. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And he goes on to say, trust God for your daily needs. Trust God to help you forgive other people. Jesus knew we'd have trouble with that one. He gave us a hint. Right? Didn't he give us a hint? You're going to have trouble with this. You won't need help. Pray then that God's going to keep you from temptation. Why? Because you're going to be... Why do you think Jesus put all this in here? He says you're going to... He said it's not going to get perfect. It's about to get real. It's about to get real. When you become a follower, it gets real. But he says, I'm going to help you, but we approach him as a provider. You know, I grew up in a household. My dad has gone home to be with Jesus. But my dad, there's two things about God I really understand. Him being a provider. My dad worked in a steel mill. We went times where he was out of work. And on strikes and all, but he always hustled. We always had, he always provided. So it's easy for me to understand God the provider. My dad was a big man. He was big, tall, strong, big hands, rough hands. He was a bricklayer. And so when he grabbed a hold of my neck, the back part, not the front, or my shoulder. His hands were rough. It was like coarse sandpaper. But he was a protector. See, when I got home as a young boy, and there was a car that stopped and harassed me, and I outran him. I made it home. I got in my house, and my dad and my brothers were there. And I said, they said, what happened? And I said, these kids chased me. They were yelling they were going to get me. And my dad, the first thing he says, where are they? And my brothers were like, yeah. We live for this stuff. And we went and found them. They were foolish enough to drive by again. Didn't get out of the car that time. See, I understand provider and protector. Maybe you didn't have that as a father. Maybe you've experienced something else. But I want to tell you that God the Father in heaven can recalculate your brain about being a provider. Do you know how you earn, like everybody says, trust is earned, right? You earn trust. Do you know how you learn to trust God? You're going to want to write this down. This is good. You trust God. Right. No, I'm serious. You can't outgive God. Financially, you can't outgive him. I've tried. You just do it. People say, well, I just can't trust God. I said, just trust him and watch what he does. Natalie and I, 35 years, never had a problem because it's just like God keeps showing up. He just keeps showing up. You just keep giving. He keeps providing. And so how do you experience trust and faith like that? You put your faith and trust in him. Right. And watch him show up.
Right.
It's so cool. It's so good. He's a provider. He's faithful. Did you hear the songs that we sang this morning? I sought the Lord, and he heard. And the answer is like, I know what some of you were thinking. I sought the Lord, and he didn't answer. No, it's a real question. It's very real. He does, but he provides still mercy and grace and love when I need it. I have a God, the Father. I know him. Does it mean my life has been easy? No. Does it mean this last week has been easy? No. But I have myself a God, the Father, and I know him. Based on his word, he's given me a whole book that talks about me in him. A whole book that's enjoyable and fun. Do I understand everything that he does? No. I don't. But I still trust he is good. Because the only option is to walk away disappointed. And my Bible communicates to me that he will not disappoint us in the sense of who he is. And I'm convinced there's a lot of things I go through here on this earth that are painful and difficult and hurt. And I walk through these things, but it's going to take about a minute, a second, a millisecond in heaven. And it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. Because the pain and the suffering will be no more when I'm in him. I have a personal God and I have a provider, but then I have a protector. A protector. Yeah. I don't know what your this is, but God got this. Whatever your this is, God got it. I think we have a false sense of God rescuing us in our day and age. We do. We think if God really rescued me, I wouldn't have any problem. There's a psalm, and you want to read all these. I didn't have time to read them all, but this Psalm 23, if you've been to more than two or three funerals, they read Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He prepares a feast in the midst of my enemies. It's not talking about death. It's talking about your life here. God doesn't always rescue me, but he's always there with me. That's the difference. He's with me. He's for me. Even when I go through difficult times, he protects me even from myself.
Right.
Do you know what I need protected from the most? Me. Because there's crazy stuff up here. Are you with me? There's a lot of crazy. But God gives me an anchor. And His Word gives me an anchor. God, the Father, loves me. And He initiated a plan. As a matter of fact, He built a super highway to me. I want to preach that message someday. I can't wait to preach the super highway. Do you know Him as God the Father? God the Son? God the Holy Spirit? All three are here today. All three are showing up. And when we know Him in those three ways, our decisions in life become more simple. Didn't say they're easy, but they're simple. If you heard anything today, anything at all that was helpful, anything that you said, man, I needed to hear that. Anything at all. Just stand to your feet today. If you heard anything at all, you say, man, I want to read to you a couple verses left, and then we're gonna switch gears here. But Romans chapter 8, 15 and 16, there is this couple verses that not in a study Bible, but in one that helps us understand. How many of y'all could use some help in understanding God today? Me too. Both hands up. So let me explain it to you this way. This resurrection life that you received, how many of you have received resurrection life? How many of you are excited about it? Come on. It's not timid grave tending. Come on. It's adventurously expectant. Yeah, it's greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? When everybody comes out of this water today and they get baptized, they're coming up, they're going to go, what's next, Papa? They're not coming up going, I've arrived. I got it all figured out. What's next? What's my next step, Papa? That's how every day we get together here, we worship God. What's next, Papa? Every morning, what's next, Papa? It's an adventure. Yeah, God's Spirit touches our spirit, yeah, here, and confirms who we really are. Are you tracking this? We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and... Yeah! And we know we are going to get what's coming to us. Now, normally that's said, like, you know what's coming to you. But when we belong to Him and we live a life of following His Word and we feel there, we know what's coming. An unbelievable inheritance. Yeah! Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I got an unbelievable inheritance in front of me. Oh, yeah, there might be a few more troubles and trials along the way in every aspect of my life. But I know I have God the Father, a personal relationship. I know Him. And I have a protector and I have a provider. And then next week, I'm going to come back and learn about a creator and love of God. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? So, Heavenly Father, I pray right now that the love of God is going to become real right now in Jesus' name. I pray that the love of God is going to become so, so real, Lord God, here in this place. I pray for every person that's right now struggling with their relationship with who You really are, who it's hurting, it's pain. I pray, God, by Your mercy and grace, You would be with them and comfort them. You promised us comfort. I ask for comfort. So, God, do it, Lord. And God, I pray for those who don't have a relationship with You. I pray for those who today is the first day they've heard this, or they've heard it before, but they don't know You. And I want to stop for a moment and speak to those here that you don't have a day, a moment, or time where you began a relationship with God the Father. I didn't say you acknowledge Him, but I said began a relationship with Him. I want to offer you today a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, an opportunity to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, and Jesus, be the leader of my life. Lead me to God. If today you would like today to make Jesus Christ the forgiver of your past and leader to your future, you'd like Jesus Christ into your life in a very real way to know Him and to experience Him. Oh, you don't have to figure it all out. We will do that together over the next decades, but you'd say, today is my day. If you're here today and you would like Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life in a real way and begin this relationship, just do something really bold, really quick right now in this moment, right now, right here. I just want you to slip up your hand right where you are. Just slip up your hand. Just say, Pastor, that is me right here, right now. I got to go here. I got to start this relationship. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. God, anybody else? You say, man, that's me. That's me. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, let today be the day of new beginnings. Let today be the day where people know God the Father in the name of Jesus. And when you came in, you got a card. And on there it says, I want Jesus to be the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. Fill that out. Check it off. And we're going to pray for you this week. We're going to believe God for that next step. Amen. How many of you are excited you just came to church today? Come on. So listen, this is what we're going to do right now. If you are getting water baptized or you're baptizing somebody, if you could make your way back to the cafe in the back corner through the door, the guys are going to open the door. You're going to be there. If you're a parent of a child that you checked into children's ministry, if you checked your kids into children's ministry, I want you to go and get your kids, check them out, and then come back into this room. Because we're going to have a baptism celebration. So again, only those people moving. The rest of us, we're going to sing a very significant song. It's a song about what we believe. So what we're going to do is we're going to worship God. We're going to stand to our feet. The reason we stand to our feet is just honoring God. It's a way that we honor God. That's all. And then the worship team is going to lead us in We Believe in God the Father. And this song now, we sing it with an understanding about what we believe. And I believe you're going to be singing this song all week long. You lead us, we'll follow in Jesus' name. Church, let's worship.